Can I beatbox aside and up?
Yeah. Crespo D's soap. It's the cinema of the Crespo D's soap. It's the cinema. I'm Chris Crespo. What? And we're out. Okay. Welcome to Cinema Crespo Diso. This is episode 11. Can't believe it. Pretty wild. Episode 11. It's already here, Drew.
Double digits,
double,
man.
Double digits.
I never thought I'd see the day.
But it's here. I am your host, Christopher Crespo, film critic extraordinaire, writer of many things, and I'll do whatever else you want. Just hit me up.
Whatever else I want.
For the right price.
All right.
For the right price. With me, back from assignment. He was off in a faraway place doing important things, but he's back. Appreciate it. Drewster Cogburn.
Yes, I was back halfway through last week's episode.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, whatever.
It happens. But you're back now.
Yes, I'm back now. I'm here full time. Let's do this.
We appreciate it. And sitting to your... You're right.
My right.
Sitting to your right. Special, super special guest this week. We would like to thank you for coming on. Producer of SBK Live, the great show SBK Live. Co-host of Two Guys, One Sports Show. One of the greatest talk sports shows ever. The one and only... Actually, I meant to ask you. I didn't know how to introduce you. Are we going to go with Cabin Boy? You want to go with Matt? Matty Ice? Twinkle Toes Matty? Friday Matty?
It's just Matt now, buddy.
Just Matt.
Cabin Boy
just
died Matt. Back in December.
I like, all right. Matt, thank you for coming on the show,
hey,
dude.
Pleasure to be here, buddy.
Oh, man. It's so good to see you. We spent so much time together rapping about films and other stuff.
I know. Once a week for the past couple of years until recently.
Pretty wild. What have you been doing lately, man?
Keeping busy.
Yeah,
working
you?
And, you know... She's sitting collecting that sweet, sweet Clear Channel severance.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Living up in downtown Orlando still.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, you know, nothing. The only thing that's changed is I talk less than I used to. Otherwise, everything's about the same.
You got to see this guy's place. He lives like a king in downtown Orlando.
Like a king.
Like a king.
I tell you.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's pretty sweet.
Do you have a throne? Do you have maidens that...
Scepter.
Yeah, yeah. Maidens to get you with palm fronds.
No, just hold. a really comfy office chair.
Nice.
Oh, well,
as well be a throne.
That's your throne.
My throne.
That's the throne of the 2000s. That's the CEO throne.
So what do you guys do here? Just talk about movies. We just bullshit. Yeah,
we bullshit
much.
About movies, man. And well, we sometimes we have guests on, and things get a little wild. Sometimes they're a little chill. I think today will be somewhere in the middle. It's gonna be a nice high energy but still chill.
All right.
So looking forward to it. The format of the show is a lot like what we used to do on SBK Live on Mondays.
Okay.
Box office review, movie reviews.
I've actually been watching a lot of movies. I've had plenty of time.
Awesome.
Plenty of movies.
Awesome. Fantastic. You're in the right place, man.
Yeah.
You are amongst like-minded people.
Yes, you are.
The Crespo Dome is going to be new for you. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's just where craziness happens.
Got to choose your weapon wisely.
Two men enter. Actually, three men enter the Crespo Dome
this time,
and everyone leaves because it's generally it's a well-meaning place.
Hopefully,
actually.
Yeah. Hopefully, I leave your place alive.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Despite the intimidating name, the Crespo Dome is a very friendly place. But we're gonna start, like we do every show, with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. You remember these, buddy?
Yeah, yeah. Lots of Netflix.
Lots of Netflix, and you're using Netflix now, right?
Yeah, I watched that crazy ass. Movie that the you said the Hunger Games was based on it,
the Battle Royale,
yeah,
Japanese one,
yeah, that's a good one, pretty wild.
That was a past pick of the week, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Was that officially did the guy that wrote the Hunger Games, is it like he ripped them off?
The woman that wrote the book claims the opposite, that she never heard of the film, even though it was a notorious movie.
Yeah, it's a cult classic.
It's a cult classic. It's for a while was well known for being pretty much banned in America and many other countries for many years.
It wasn't ban worthy.
It wasn't banned. It's just there was never an English version released.
2000 was also a different time.
The copy that I have that I got in like 2001 is
the import.
All Japanese. Like you have to know exactly where to point and click unless you can read Japanese.
You're talking about the menu, like play, movie, chapter, stuff like that.
There's no English.
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was like a fraction of what, you know, Saw or Hostel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the subsequent years, it's kind of a little more tame. But yeah, 2000, man. You
know, I guess.
Even in that short amount of time, movies have gotten that much crazier and more intense. And the things that you've seen since then have gotten crazier.
Yeah,
so.
I guess so.
But yeah, it's a good one. People do call Hunger Games Battle Royale with cheese.
Yeah.
And it's... I I like that.
It's good. I like that.
So I got a whole bunch of Netflix pick here. We do them randomly every week.
Oh, in the Crespo randomizer.
Matt, will you please do us a favor?
Maybe something I've seen. Oh, True Grit. I've seen. Well, I saw the new one.
Oh, yes.
Is this the old one?
It should be the new one. Let's see. I'm going to double check to make sure that it's still on the Netflix because they take them.
The one with Jeff Bridges?
Yes. As a matter of fact, they both are on the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. So this will be a double pick.
Ooh.
True Grit from 1969 and True Grit from 2010. Have you ever seen the original with John Wayne?
No. Old movies, I can watch them now and then, but it kind
of. You're more
it's hard to keep my attention on like a slow Western.
Going back to the 80s, movies were a lot slower paced than they are now, you know? So there you go. True Grit. If you're into older films, you got the original 69 with John Wayne. If you like the newer ones, you got the great 2010 Coen Brothers movie with Jeff Bridges.
69.
And it's my name.
Yeah. It is. Drewster Cogburn. That's where it came from.
Matt.
True Grit. Hey, good pick, Matt. Good job. Good job. And it's on there.
Pleasure to help. My pleasure. It's all over here.
We've had a couple times already where we picked one out of the bag because I put this stuff in the bag a while ago.
Yeah.
And then I picked one out and then it's not on the Netflix Instant anymore because they take them down. They put them in rotation. So annoying.
It is.
So that's why we got to check now and make sure that both of them are on there.
That's good.
And around here somewhere, I'm going to write down, make sure so I don't forget. Because sometimes I forget I got to update ChrisCrespo.com. Have you seen ChrisCrespo.com?
Yeah. Shuffles showed it to me.
Shuffles is the man behind it.
I know you got professional stickers too.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what do those cost to get stickers like that?
Drew. Drew's behind it.
So to print these, go to Staples, get the sticker paper. It's like $15. You get like 60 or 70 out of them.
That's not bad.
And it costs $1 to print each page.
And he also does the printing himself, so he doesn't have to pay for like the people behind the counter to do the printing.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's like maybe, you know, like $30.
We sent out tons of them to street teamers so they can slap them on things around town. I got a bunch of really cool pictures. I got pictures from stickers in New York, like in subway stations in New York and Philadelphia and stuff.
Nice.
We'll make sure you leave here with a sticker.
A Jeep. At least one.
All right, well, let's get into the box office review for the weekend. Drew, you got the box office there?
Oh, yes, I do, sir.
Where are we starting?
All right, this week we are starting at number 17.
Pretty low. That's pretty low.
All right, and at number 17 this week we have Stoker, which had a weekend gross of $356,000, a total gross of $1.1 million on a budget of $12 million.
Low budget movie. But
What's Stoker?
1.1 is not very good. Have you seen Old Boy? The Korean film Old Boy?
No.
There's this director. Old Boy is like his most popular film, and he's made a lot of really good Korean movies, and this is his first English language movie. It has Nicole Kidman. Mia Wazikowski. I have no idea how to say her last name. The one of the chicks from Les Mis. And this dude from Watchmen, the guy that played Ozymandias, Matthew Good. He generic white guy.
Okay.
And it's pretty much about Nicole Kidman's the mom, Mia's the daughter. The movie starts with the father dying in an accident.
Uh-huh.
And the brother, the estranged brother, who's this dude Matthew Good, he moves into the house right when there's a funeral, and then right away things get crazy. He's not who he says he is, and you know, it's like he's kind of coming onto his niece and his brother's wife at the same time. It gets really gothic and crazy. And
have you seen it?
Known for.
I saw it. It's playing at Winter Park.
Is it good?
It's quite good. It's very
interesting.
It gets kind of creepy at times, you know, kind of icky, but also very, very intense, a little violent.
That actually sounds like something I'd like to see.
I think you would like it. It's a little slow because it's arty, you know, it's a little arty, but it gets really intense and it has a really good payoff, a really, really good payoff that it'll make you remember the movie.
Speaking of arty, man, you said that Tree of Life movie you recommended.
Oh,
I put that thing on. I shut it off. It was the dumbest, worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
I tried watching it three times. I fell asleep twice.
Made no sense.
Tree of Life, I always recommend with caveats. It's a very slow, very arty, weird movie, man. It's not for everyone.
Tree
for
of
sure.
Life was like my hobo with a shotgun.
Nice.
I can't.
It's like my serendipity.
Well, that's not fair.
What are you talking about? It's not fair. You recommended Serendipity wholeheartedly.
Best romantic comedy of all time.
Oh my goodness, I don't know about that, buddy.
Rom com.
I think you'll like Stoker though. It's not overly arty like Tree of Life arty. It's more like it's kind of weird, but. Still still accessible enough that I think most people like catching on DVD would be surprised by how well it's made.
Right.
But it's like I said, it's creepy. It'll stick with you. It sticks to the original.
All of his movies are like that.
Yeah, they are. All of his movies are kind
of
crazy.
Yeah, I think Angel always talks about Old Boy.
Yeah, he's a big fan of Old Boy.
It's on Netflix, right? I've been meaning to watch
it. It is.
Okay. Oh,
that,
yeah.
Old Boy will change your life.
Yeah, well.
Why
is
that?
It is quite a movie.
It's just something I guarantee. That's a movie where I guarantee you will never forget.
The
story.
Oh, yeah.
First
Everything.
Of all, it's really well made, and it's a very interesting story. You have no idea where the story is going to end up, and when it does end.
Oh, wow.
That's your mind being blown right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a foreign movie, though.
It's South Korean.
Okay.
Yeah. But but it's worth it, though.
Okay.
Oh, it's so good.
Good stuff.
All right. What's next on the list?
All right. And now we're hopping up to number 6 this week. Number 6, we have Spring Breakers, which had a weekend gross of $5 million. Total gross of $5.4 million on a budget of $2
So That's cheap.
That just came out this weekend? I thought that thing was going to kill.
It had a wider release.
Well, yeah, it came out in a few theaters last weekend, and this week it's only in 1,000 theaters across the country.
Okay.
Your typical release gets like 2,500 to 3,000. So it's a small release. $5 million, I think, is actually pretty good. I mean, and this is another one where
I think they're sneaking money in.
Most people that are going to sit down to see this are going to be surprised.
No idea what they're in for.
This is already to the point of like it's going to drive some people crazy.
Oh yeah,
arty it is.
Yeah,
like a lot of dialogue being reused, recycled over and over, and like images
read by just different
repetition
people.
Of images and
repetition
stuff.
Repetition of dialogue,
like weird shots. A lot of it. On the surface, it looks like a movie about a bunch of spring break girls who want to like have a good time and rob people.
Which is what you think you're going to get for like the first 5 minutes of the movie.
There's a decent amount of that in there. That stuff's still there, but it's also surrounded by like a lot of, you know, like this one character that's like kind of wrestling with Faith a little bit, and her name is Faith. Yeah. Like, can you hit that on the head a little harder?
Ding.
There's a girl named Faith who's struggling with being grown up in a church, but then also wanting to party with her friends. And then there's like, you know, it's trying to make some sort of commentary about the lifestyle that these kids leave and they live and how they go to a spring break destination just to lose their mind and their soul for like a week and then pretend like it doesn't matter. But this stuff really can have consequences, you know.
Oh, it's one of those. Okay, so
it can get a little heavier, but it's still very flashy, and I mean it's like there's black lighting with what shining like pink hoods and
dubstep.
You
guys aren't selling me. I don't want to see this now.
Lots of titties,
a lot of nudity,
some uncomfortable crotch shots.
Some of it gets uncomfortable. At first it's like okay, yeah, cool. Let's oogle some flesh. 5 minutes later, like all right, I'm feeling.
I've oogled this flesh enough, I think.
Yeah.
To each his own. Maybe it's not enough oogling for me.
Yeah, you're right.
It might be.
That's true.
Right.
The guy who did it, writer director Harmony Korine. He wrote the movie Kids. You ever see Kids?
No.
I have no legs.
That's a terrible.
I have no legs.
I hate that movie.
I love that movie.
Gummo.
Much.
Have you heard of that movie?
No.
Gummo is a movie about a bunch of weird like rednecks, and it's just like a day in the life of rednecks, but like almost deformed rednecks. I don't know. This guy makes really weird, hard-to-watch movies, so this is by far his most accessible mainstream film.
Definitely.
But it's still really arty and weird.
Okay.
I would say for you, Redbox it. Like, don't go to the theater. $1.20, I think you might like it.
I haven't been doing Redbox lately. I've been Netflixing it.
It'll be
so much easier than
I like the Redbox just because it has newer releases. Mm.
Yeah, you're not going to get the new releases on Netflix Instant because that costs way too much money for Netflix. But they can afford to get all the older stuff and the foreign stuff. This is indie, so they'll probably get... Spring Breakers will probably be on the Instant really quickly. All so, right. Just hold out for Netflix, buddy.
Cool Netflix.
And I think you will mostly like it. Mostly. But I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the $5 million I went, like people I went and see, what's her name? Selena Gomez. And
yeah.
People that turned to see.
And
like
the other girl, whatever the hell.
Yeah,
her name
like
is.
these Disney teen fans. Some of them might show up to see it and they'll be.
Their minds are
off.
Going to be blown.
They might be put off by it, so we'll see. All right, what else? What else we got?
All right, number 5 this week, we have Admission with a weekend gross of $6.5 million.
I haven't even heard of any of these movies right now.
This is the
total
Tina
gross
Fey.
Is 6.5 on a budget of 13.
This is that Tina Fey, Paul Rudd comedy.
I've never even
I've seen commercials for it.
I've seen trailers, but just because I go to so many freaking movies, you know, so I'm bound to see the trailers. But this one looks like a piece of shit.
It really does.
Tina Fey's an admissions officer at a college.
If Tina Fey wrote it, she doesn't usually write.
She didn't write it.
She did not write it. I don't think she did. She might have given the script a pass, but I don't think she wrote it. She's just in it, you know.
I've never heard of this. So she's an admissions officer?
She's an admissions officer. And then Paul Rudd is like works at some run some farm school or an agriculture school. I have no idea. It's supposed to be a romantic comedy, but it looks like a hunk of shit. And $7 million, that's a typical Paul Rudd opening weekend, which means that's not good for Tina Fey. Because people want to see how much money Tina Fey can make in opening weekend. Because, you know, if this made $15, $20 million, then people would be lining up to put her in more movies. But it only made $7
million. Tina Fey's not hurting, though. I mean, she's... Although 30 Rock's over, so what's she writing now? I guess she's looking for new stuff.
Well, I bet you if she wanted to do anything in television... They will just roll out the red carpet for her, give her as much money to do whatever she wants. But film, that's a different thing. She saw like Baby Mama.
Baby Mama did that movie. Good.
I don't think it made that much money though. And Date Night with Steve Carell, that underperformed for a Steve Carell movie, even with Tina Fey being in it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe people aren't interested in seeing her in films. But people love her on television.
Yeah, they do.
Maybe
they just went 30 minutes of Tina.
Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that glass ceiling.
Yeah.
You know. We are the number one into feminism in movies podcast. We're all about feminism in movies. Yeah. Aren't we?
Sure.
No, we're not. We try to be. We're all about equality, right?
Sure.
You don't seem too convinced.
Yeah, it's murky waters, man.
this guy, Matt,
it's
I
all
tell
murky
you.
Hey, man, I mean, if you want equality, let's go full equality here.
If we get sued for anything, it's going to be something this guy says.
I mean, seriously.
You can get sued for a podcast.
Hey,
trust me. Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right. I mean, we did just make the new and noteworthy page.
We made new noteworthy on iTunes.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, very nice.
People might be listening.
Apparently, it only takes about 10 ratings and a couple of reviews. Awesome. That reminds me, if you're on iTunes, or subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us 5 stars, leave a nice review. Leave a review for episode 11. Tell them how awesome Matt is. Because iTunes will love that shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, admission. None of us saw it. None of us are going to see it.
Nope.
You might see. You like romantic comedies.
I do, actually.
And the truth comes out in the end.
Yeah, it always does. It always does. All right, so, we'll have you back on when it hits DVD and you'll let us know.
Fantastic.
Awesome. All right. What are we on?
Number four this week, we have The Call, which had a weekend gross of $8.7 million for a total gross of $31 million. Budget of 13.
Man, you had me on as a guest. I've literally never heard of any of these movies, so I don't really know how I can. I've never heard of this either.
I never saw The Call. I'm not going to see it.
I haven't seen The Call.
It's some garbage Halle Berry movie.
It's produced by WWE Studios.
Oh, Halle Berry's doing WWE movies now.
Well, I mean, the budget of $13 million. I bet you about 8 of that went to Halle Berry.
Is The Rock or something in this movie?
I thought maybe John Cena was in it, but I don't think
but
so.
You know what?
I don't think he is.
They might make a second one. I mean, it's doubled its money.
The fact that it's made some money, yeah, WWE will cling to that, and they'll make a DTV, a direct-to-video version sequel of The Call. Have you even seen trailers for it?
I've never heard of any.
Halle Berry is a 911 operator. And, like, she gets a call in the beginning. The whole movie, it's one of these trailers where it gives you the whole movie. So that's another reason why you don't got to go see it. Just watch the trailer. Halle Berry is a 911 operator. A little girl, like, some girl calls her, like, oh, there's someone in my house. And then the phone cuts off. So Halle Berry hits redial, and the phone rings. And the killer hears the phone ringing, goes upstairs, finds the girl under the bed, and kills her. Well, the whole time, Halle Berry is on the phone.
Done.
Yeah, and he says, like, it's already done. He has a serial killer catchphrase. And then, and then he kidnaps another girl later on, and that girl calls 911, and then Halle Berry answers that call too.
Oh, what are the odds? It's like that movie. I think maybe Daniel Craig was in it. Uh-huh. That house where like he goes crazy and the trailer.
Dream House.
I've never saw the movie because the trailer like. He goes to the house. They show him going crazy. They show it get like it literally.
It tells you that everything.
I mean, there was no reason to see the movie.
And then I read after that movie came out, the whole twist was that he was like that people were afraid of the people that lived in the house because there was a serial killer that lived there, and it turns out he's the serial killer the whole time.
Ooh.
And then that's in the freaking trailer.
Yeah, you knew that going in.
It's like the one thing that might be interesting about this movie. You're just going to go ahead and blow it in the beginning. So no one saw that piece of crap. There will not be a Dream House 2.
Or a call to.
Probably will be a call.
We never know. But maybe not with Halle Berry. Maybe with Jennifer Hudson.
Yep.
They'll find someone to direct the video.
Oh, yeah.
So none of us saw the call.
Nope.
None of us are going to see it.
Nope.
Moving on.
All right. Number three this week is The Great and Powerful, which had a weekend gross of $22 million for a total gross of 177.6.
Already made.
The Great and Powerful what?
Oz. On a budget of 215.
Oh, okay. Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oz the Great and
Already
powerful.
Made $314 million worldwide.
Well, that's $100 million profit.
Well, yeah, when you consider that it costs at least $100 million to market.
I'm sure you guys have talked this to death, but in your past couple weeks has been out a while, but was it good?
It's okay.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it. I saw it. It's okay. It's
just okay.
I went into it with really low expectations. I thought it would be a hunk of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I was actually kind of entertained and mm-hmm. there were parts that I genuinely liked, you know, I was like, all right, hey, this works. I can recommend people checking this out on HBO.
Okay.
You know, it won't be on Netflix. That's something where you're going to have to.
Well, it's Disney property. So,
oh wait, it is Disney. So you know what? It will be on Netflix then, because Netflix has a massive deal with Disney that kicks in big next year. Yes.
So yes.
Oz will be on Netflix. So there you go. Check it out on Netflix. Because there are parts that are cool. I like James Franco. I've talked to people who
I like James Franco too.
I talked to people, and he's actually we didn't mention he's awesome in Spring Breakers. He is awesome in that.
He plays quite the wigger.
Yeah, he's totally like a rapper called Alien, and he has this great "look at my shit" monologue. Where he's like, "look at my shit," because he's talking about all the stuff. This guy,
he's got money.
I got
and
shorts.
Guns.
He's like, I got shorts every color. It's like tanning lotion. I'm gonna go outside, get a tan. And it's really ridiculous.
Man, he's in two top grossing movies right now.
He is in two of the top six films.
Don't forget about him playing the white piano.
He's playing a white piano, doing a Britney Spears song.
So weird.
And in this one, I like him in this one. He plays Oz, you know, the magician. And I've also talked to people who generally liked the movie but didn't like him in it. But so, you know, I guess it's to each his own. If you're a Franco fan, if you're a Francophile, I think you'll enjoy Oz.
If you speak French.
Sort of. If you speak Francoese, which is that lazy-eyed, is he stone, is he not stone type of
yes.
thing?
The answer is yes, he is.
Probably. But, you know, I like Franco. Oz is okay, though. It's I really liked Mila Kunis in it. Actually, all the chicks. Mila Kunis, Michelle Williams, right. Rachel Weisz. I thought they were all really good. And then it's Sam Raimi, so.
Yeah.
It's no Spider-Man. or Evil Dead.
What is?
Right. Spider-Man 2. Next on the list.
All
right.
Number two this week, we have Olympus Has Fallen, which had a weekend gross of $30.5 million. Total gross of $30.5 million on a budget of $70.
All right. You know about this one.
Yes. I actually kind of want to see this because that's sort of my wheelhouse is big budget action.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily care if it has a great story. I want some
good action.
Cheesy one-liners.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be plenty of those.
It's directed by a guy at the Training Day, Antoine Fuqua. So he's a pretty good director. Not all of his movies are good, but if you give him a good material, he'll make a good movie.
And I heard that this was pretty much like the new Die Hard, and I love Die Hard.
That's what it looks like. It's I said this last week. It looks very much like if this movie came out in the late 80s, early 90s, instead of Gerard Butler, it would be Steven Seagal. He'd be the disgraced bodyguard who's inside the White House during a terrorist attack. He's by himself taking people out, you know, or even Van Damme or something like that. It's totally that type of movie just made 20 years later, which I'm fine with. I'd like to see them update that formula.
I'm gonna check this out. Is $30 million good or bad for that, though?
I think that's actually pretty good, considering I think it's R-rated. It's definitely R-rated.
Definitely R-rated for violence.
$30 million at the end of March. Yeah, that's good. A $70 million budget. It'll make about $90 million. Maybe tack on another $100 million internationally. Something like this can make a lot of money on DVD and stuff. So we'll do okay.
And you know, you just said for March. When do we start getting good movies again? Like May?
May is when we get the big blockbusters. Yeah. But we have some good movies come out in April this year because it's been a pretty bad year so far.
I haven't really been paying attention. What's like the big summer movie that everybody's waiting for?
It would have to be Superman movie, Man of Steel.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That comes
I
out.
See that.
Pacific Rim, the giant robots versus giant monsters. Guillermo del Toro movie. You haven't seen the trailers for that one? That's one where it's like a throwback to the 60s, 70s Japanese kaiju films, a Godzilla man in suit, you know. It's about like a portal to another dimension opens up under the Pacific Rim in Japan. So huge monsters come out and start destroying the city. So mankind, to fight back, they've gotten together and built huge 200-foot-tall robots. And they go inside the robots and they're hooked up to them. So when the men are inside, like they throw a punch, the robot throws a punch. They control them from inside.
That sounds cool.
It looks ridiculous. It looks awesome. Like the perfect. If you're 15 years old, like this is gonna be the greatest movie ever.
That's Superman.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
All the superheroes.
Iron Man 3 kicks off the summer.
Oh, wait. Hangover 3 is coming out this summer, too.
I saw the trailer for that.
It's a great trailer. They're going back to Vegas.
Yeah. But they're talking about, like, burning it down? Are they talking about burning down Vegas?
I don't know about Vegas.
I kind of hope so.
They're burning something.
They're doing something different.
In hindsight, like, the first Hangover, I really didn't like the second Hangover, but the first Hangover is... I've seen it so many times now. It's rivaling for my top comedy of all time.
Wow.
Just because I love movies set in Vegas to begin with. Yeah. And then it's just so quotable and it's so funny.
Galifianakis, man, he's great.
Yeah, he is great.
I like that this one they're going back to Vegas, so it calls back to the first one. But it looks like it's not the whole they blacked out, they have to piece together the night. Yeah. It looks like they're doing
something else,
whole new story, which is
probably smart.
They probably should have done that the second time around, too.
Instead of
just remaking the first one in Thailand, which is what they did.
Yeah.
But, you know, then again, it's also a comedy. Comedy sequels are never as good as the original. Ever. And when was the last time? Has there ever been a comedy trilogy?
Man.
Like, that's kind of unheard of.
When you start talking about
Porky's 3 and Meatballs 3
Police Academy.
Then tell me how well that worked out.
Airplane. Exactly. There was 3 airplanes, weren't there?
No, only two. And the second one is nowhere near as good as the first one. It's interesting how you can't... It's really hard to recapture that magic. You want them to.
Caddyshack 2.
Oh my goodness.
So bad.
I mean, Jackie Macy's a good guy.
The Revenge of the Nerds series.
Yeah, what the hell?
Downhill.
Maybe even European Vacation is not as good as Vacation, but Christmas Vacation.
I got one, but the third one sucked. The Austin Powers trilogy.
Okay. I actually like the third one more than I like the second one.
I like the second one more.
You like the second one more?
I did.
All right. I think you found another comedy trilogy. Good work there. And yeah, that's a good one. I think you found a pretty decent example. So Hangover, that's what they're shooting for. Really, the whole point of a Hangover 3, how much money can it make opening weekend?
Yes, exactly.
That's what they're really shooting
and,
for.
And, you know, I see a lot of movies. I very, very rarely go to a theater to see a movie, but I will be there opening weekend for Hangover 3.
Oh, of course.
And there you go. There you go.
So they got my money.
So we're talking, man.
Already.
If it could make, I think the last one definitely had over $100 million opening weekend, which is unheard of for a comedy.
It'll happen again.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, what if it gets like $150 million? We're talking about like Batman-type money.
Well, then maybe we'll get some better comedies.
Hangover 4.
Yeah, we'll get Hangover 4.
I'm not sure if I want Hangover 4.
And then in 10 years, we'll get a Hangover remake.
Yep.
Ugh. I can see it already.
Hungover.
The future. Oh, the hungover ones. All right, so Olympus Has Fallen. None of us have seen it. Matt and I are interested in seeing it. Drew, are you interested at all? You'll see it someday.
I'll see it. It's an action flick. Why not?
It's an action movie. I haven't seen a good one in a while. And what's number one?
And number one movie this week, we have The Croods, which had a weekend gross of $44.7 million. Total gross is the same on a budget of $135.
It's a Fox Animation.
Yeah.
So
next.
Yeah, it's... Totally not our audience. But it's not for us.
It's a family movie, so of course it's going to make a shit ton of money.
Yeah, but even $44 million, that's okay. Pixar movies make 60 to 70.
Well, this is not Pixar.
No,
dude.
It's not. No,
he just said shit ton of money, and I reached for a dump button.
Oh, awesome.
Man, that's
hard habits, man.
Blacked out for a second.
Old habits break hard.
Yes, they do.
It's like how I used to spend, I spent a number of years working in a coffee shop, a gourmet coffee shop. I won't say the name of them because they're not a sponsor or anything. Let's just say their name symbolizes controlling the universe with money.
Yes.
All their coffee machines, the coffee urns had an hour timer, and then when the hour went up, beep, 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 and that means you got to change out the coffee. And I'll wake up in the middle of the night hearing beeps, and I wake up, and I look around to change the coffee, and I'm, you know, I was dreaming.
Oh, God.
It's so terrible.
It gets programmed in you sometimes.
Yep.
That's what happens when you have such a great work ethic. We totally didn't talk about The Croods. Screw that movie.
Yeah.
No one's going to see
Nobody
it.
Cares.
Well, none of us do. All right, well, let's talk about what new movies are coming out this week. We got a ton of new movies on DVD. Lincoln comes out on DVD this week, so people finally get a chance to see that.
Yeah.
I don't know...
I don't like those slow movies where it's like a bunch of stupid dialogue.
Yeah,
and,
see, I think might be interested in it for like 15, 20 minutes of Daniel Day-Lewis, and then you would get bored by it. Because Daniel Day-Lewis is incredible to watch.
He's amazing.
But I remember King's Speech won the best pick. I'm like, oh, everybody keeps going on. Yeah. I thought that movie was so stupid. I never saw it. God.
Well, I'd say Lincoln's quite better than King's Speech, personally. But yeah, I wouldn't. For you, I wouldn't run out to go see it, Matt.
I won't. Don't worry.
But Daniel Day-Lewis, though, he is.
Yeah,
dude,
he's an amazing,
the best actor we got going right now.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Parental Guidance, what's his name? Billy Crystal, Bette Midler, Marissa Tomei comedy that came out around Christmas.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, that looks so bad.
Yeah, it does.
The Collection. Did you like that horror movie, The Collector?
Never saw it.
You never saw it. Who was it?
What, someone is it about his Baby Lack. That's Baby Lack.
It was Baby Lack. It was really into The Collector.
Is it about his collection?
Well, it's a sequel to The Collector, yeah. And it's a collection that he has. The Collector in the first one is some guy breaks into a house to rob it, but he breaks into the wrong house because it's like it's a family who some serial killer's in there, and he has them all trapped in their own house in like Saw-style contraptions. So the thief has to try to free the family. This sequel, I think it's about the same guy, the thief, and the same serial killer, I think. But like, he gets the thief into like a warehouse where it's all a whole bunch of people, a collection of people in different traps. And I guess he makes the guy. I'm pulling a lot of this out of my ass. I'm not sure.
I think he makes
the guy see all these people. I think that's what it's about. It's the sequel that no one asked
for. So what happens if I don't want to save these people?
Well, then they all die, and then there's no movie.
Does the guy let me go?
No, he probably kills you. He'll probably put you in a trap. You'll become part of the collection. So it's the collector, the collection, and then the third one will probably be the collectioning or something. The Comedy is a weird movie that is not a comedy. Tim Heidecker from Tim and Eric. You know Tim and Eric, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Really weird alternative comedy
really
type guys.
Strange stuff.
Tim Heidecker was in this movie called The Comedy, and it's totally just a weird character drama about a dude who's just, I don't know,
weird.
Like detached from people, and he's socially awkward and always gets
in you saw it? Is it good?
No, I read a lot about it, though. It's very... very interesting. A lot of interesting reactions. A lot of people like it. A lot of people hate it. It's that type of movie. So I'm very interested in checking it out. And Killing Them Softly, that Brad Pitt movie.
Oh, that I never saw.
Oh, I wanted to see that, actually. That
so
looked
did
pretty
I.
good.
Warning, Matt. Warning, Mr. I'm not too into arty movies. This one is a talky arty film. It is.
I'll give it a shot.
Give it a shot, though.
I'll give it a shot.
I really, really dig it. I really like the style. But it half the movie is people in cars talking. just so you know.
Do they have accents?
No. It's all like, it takes place in a generic American town. I thought it was supposed to take place in Washington, D.C., but apparently the whole thing was shot in New Orleans, so
okay.
I had
no
idea.
No, it's going to sound, because for some reason I thought it was like a Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels kind
of
thing.
Oh, yeah,
which was a good movie, but I have trouble with those because like, it's honestly hard for me to follow the dialogue.
Those guys talk so fast, and they're using like slang and street slang and stuff.
And I started watching, I watched like the first half hour of, what's it called, Rock and Roller?
Rock and Roller,
And not that I didn't like it, but I couldn't. I didn't understand what was going on. I got to start this over sometime because I'm so lost.
And then half that movie, isn't that one about real estate too? Like a real estate scam? That's not helping. That's not helping things at all. Yeah, Rock and Roll is definitely like B movie Guy Ritchie, whereas Lock, Stock, and Snatcher up here, and then Rock and Roll is a little further down here. And then he got a movie. What's that one movie he did with Jason Statham? He did this really, really weird one where it's like a lot of weird editing and backward shots. Ray Liotta's in it.
Andre 3000's in it.
Andre 3000's in it. It's the strangest movie, and it's almost so bad it's good.
It's one word.
It is one word, and it's killing me now. It's killing me. I almost want to look it up, but I'm not gonna. We're not even gonna worry about it. Someone will tell me on the Twitter. That's what Twitter's for.
Yep.
At Crespo Diso, you can find me on Twitter. Or by the way, that reminds
Revolver.
Me. Revolver up
Revolver.
Top. Good job. Up top, Revolver.
Revolver.
Horrible film.
Okay.
It was
almost,
really weird.
Almost so bad as
good
levels.
And that one came out about the same time that that other weird one with The Rock and Justin Timberlake. The dude,
Southland Tales.
They came out around
the
same
time.
Never heard of it. The Rock and Justin Timberlake did a movie together. Huh?
Well, it's an ensemble.
It's a weird
movie. John Lovitz is in it. Sherry O'Terry, but playing roles like John Lovitz is playing like a pimp. Sherry O'Terry is a gangbanger. It is
okay.
It's a weird movie.
It's bad.
That too.
Again, almost so bad it's good. Almost. But Killing Them Softly, I love it. And I was going to say, before I forget, I changed my Twitter name.
Oh.
I'm not Movie Examiner anymore on Twitter because I'm getting away from The Examiner. And I'm now more about ChrisCrespo.com.
Okay.
But Chris Crespo was taken by some dude who's not using it. That jerk. So my new Twitter handle is I am Chris Crespo. Pretty simple.
You are Chris Crespo?
No, I am Chris Crespo.
You are Chris Crespo?
No, I am Chris Crespo. Don't confuse the people. Don't confuse them. So those are new movies coming out on DVD. I am Chris Crespo. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
All right, in theaters this weekend, we have G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yes! Woo!
I'm looking forward to it.
Are you really?
I saw the last one.
I was looking forward to it last year when it was scheduled to come out last summer.
Agreed.
And then they delayed it for 8 months for reshoots. And now I'm no longer looking forward to it because that must have been a hunk of hell.
It's probably pretty bad. But the song they play in the trailer is great.
Dubstepy White Stripe song, right?
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's a White Stripe song.
I've been trying
to
figure out
remix.
What that song was because I want to download it.
Yeah. I forgot the name of the song.
Has me
convinced,
wanting to go see it. The first one was so cheesy that it was like,
I just want to see The Rock in an action movie.
Well, the first one felt like what it was. It felt like a kid with a bunch of G.I. Joes in a sandbox playing with them, smashing them together, and then filmed it. That's what with real people. This one is from the director of Step Up 2 and Step Up 3D.
Oh.
So this is what I'm thinking. I'm hoping that at least the action scenes will look good and will be shot well and have good action choreography because the whole idea behind dance choreography and action choreography in cinema, it's the same thing. You're trying to capture a lot of movement on a screen, but you want to do it in a way that makes, sense to a person, spatial sense to their eyeballs and their brain. So I'm hoping if he can shoot really good dance numbers.
What do you think it's going to make opening?
Like an $80 million opening weekend. Because it's March.
It's that high.
Oz just had an $80 million opening.
I'll bet you it makes $40 million.
40 is low, dude. 40 is low. Yeah.
I don't know anybody that's really racing out to go see G.I. Joe.
I'm going to write this down. I'll make sure to tweet about this. We'll do an update next week here.
Okay. Yes.
I'll make sure to write it down for next week. So you're saying 40.
40, yep. You're saying 80.
And Drew.
60, right in the middle.
Drew, splitting the difference with 60. Man, I'm going.
No, you're out of your mind.
He might be out of his mind, but that's okay.
Well, you know who else is out of their mind? America. They're out of their mind for The Rock and for movies about toys.
And don't forget about Channing Tatum.
What the first G.I. Joe
And Bruce Willis.
And Bruce Willis. The first one, the first one also came out like in June, July, so it was a summer movie. But that one had like a $70, $80 million opening.
Okay.
And then The Rock has been taking the call on himself Franchise Viagra. Because he's been put into a lot of franchise films after the first one, and he's reinvigorated some of them. Journey to the Center of the Earth, he wasn't in the first one. It didn't do too well. They made a Journey 2 for some reason, put him in it. That movie made a ton of money. Fast and the Furious. Yep. He's in the highest grossing one. The next one's going to be even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
This is a franchise where they're going to reinsert him. I mean, that's how he's making
people
his
love
money.
The
now.
Rock.
I love The
they
Rock.
Do. I love The Rock.
I just saw, I just watched this movie, Snitch, that he was in last month.
How's that?
It's the movie itself is okay. He's really good. It's definitely his most thoughtful role, where he's actually playing a real person and not just some sort of, not just some sort of
not
action
wrestler,
character.
Yeah.
Not just a wrestler. He's actually like a father and a businessman, and he's it's interesting. The only thing is, it reminded me a lot of like Schwarzenegger movies from the 90s and 80s, where Schwarzenegger's trying to play a normal everyday guy, and no one points out the fact that this guy is 6 feet tall, a 6 foot tall Austrian bodybuilder. Like, he's my neighbor. He's totally, that's Carl. He's cool. He's fine. He's just like all the rest of us. Why is he so big? I don't know. I never bothered asking him. He's just a man monster. It's Carl. That's what Rock is like in Stitch. what else is coming out? Something else?
Also coming out this week, we have The Host.
Oh, that from the writer of Twilight.
Is it from the writer of Twilight?
It's Stephanie Meyer.
Is that why on the trailer I saw for yesterday, it said, Twilight fans will love this movie.
They're going
and
specifically
I
for those people.
I immediately went, I will never see this.
Yeah. Have you seen anything for this one?
No, but that's also going to probably eat into that G.I. Joe budget that you're planning.
Different audiences.
Yeah.
I think there's slightly different audiences.
It's a chick movie?
It's totally. Like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but for chicks.
Okay.
Pretty much. Who was actually, yeah, so that could be a tough one, too. Depends on how many ladies come out for that one. I see what I'm seeing is like $80 million for G.I. Joe, like $50 million, maybe $40 million for the host. I think you got your numbers backwards, buddy. That's
well,
what I'm,
all right, we'll see. All right. Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. All right, what else is coming out?
Also coming out this weekend, we have Tyler Perry's Temptation.
Nice. Oh.
Another Tyler Perry.
This one featuring Kim Kardashian. With an actual speaking role.
Wow.
Tyler Perry saw it fit to give her dialogue.
Why?
Because people will see her in a movie.
Whatever Tyler Perry puts out is going to make some.
It does. It'll make a $15, $20 million opener. It'll make like $60 million. Probably only cost them like $12, $15 million to make. It'll probably cost them $20 million to make. But there's also one more movie's coming out. The Place Beyond the Pines.
Exactly. Nicholas Winding Refn / Ryan Gosling flick.
Well, no, it's not Nicholas Winding Refn. It's they do have a movie coming out. But
oh,
not,
this isn't this th- is
not this
one.
No, this is by the guy who did a Ryan Gosling movie, Blue Valentine.
Okay.
He's like a drunk. He just plays a drunk in that movie. This one, have you seen the Ryan Gosling Bradley Cooper movie that's coming out? The trailers for it.
No.
Gosling is like he's all tatted up and he's like just a scumbag dude, and but he finds out he has a son with Eva Mendes, plays his girlfriend, and then Bradley Cooper's a cop, and they end up being at odds with each other. And
I never heard of it.
It looks like a really interesting, really intense crime drama, The Place Beyond the Pines, which is the whole thing was shot in Schenectady, New York.
Sounds good.
And that's what Schenectady means, The Place Beyond the Pines.
Place Beyond the Pines.
So you got a little bit of Indian language education there. We're all about learning proper Native American Indian speak
on
the show. So that's the one I'm looking forward to. Hopefully, I don't know if it's going to be a limited release or not, though. It might not come out here for a few weeks.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Well, hey, let's take a quick break. We're going to go into the Crespo Disco. This is where we listen to a quick song. It's a song from a movie. You guys try to figure out what it's from. I'll let you know when we get back. And then we'll do the Crespo Dome. We've got a lot of good stuff planned with our good friend Matt. So stick around, guys. Enjoy the song. We'll be back in a few minutes. All right. Welcome back to Cinema Crespo Disco. That was the Crespo Disco, and I think it was pretty obvious. There was a little bit of Kenny Loggins there, Danger Zone, Top Gun. Matt.
My favorite movie of all time.
That's what I thought. Picked it with you in mind, buddy. Picked it with you in mind.
Nice.
Resetting, I am Chris Crespo, obviously. Drusick Hogburn is here.
How's it going?
And special guest Matt. How's it going, dude?
Good.
Before we get into the Crespo Dome, let's do some house cleaning here.
House cleaning.
The house cleaning theme song.
House cleaning.
Courtesy of Drew.
Well, every time you say that house cleaning, all I think of is some little...
Like a Family Guy style.
Exactly.
House cleaning.
Exactly.
Or Tommy Boy.
Sure.
Chris Farley. Yep.
House cleaning.
So real quick, like I said earlier on Twitter, we are at Crespo Diso as a show. I am Chris Crespo. Drew is antihero 419. Make sure you tweet Drew.
Please don't. I don't care about Twitter.
People tweet him. Follow him. Tweet him. He loves Twitter. He often you talk about the things you like the most, and like as if you don't like them. We understand. Matt, on Twitter you are?
At Matt is Cabin.
So are you? How long are you going to keep that for? Because Angel changed his.
I'm still trying to get verified, and apparently if you change your name, you can't get Twitter verification.
You can't.
I'm going to ride that lightning a little bit longer there.
All right, true. Yeah, because that I did think about that too. Like, do I want to be verified? Is that a big deal? It's sort of a big deal in the Twitter world to get verified.
Oh, I want it would change my life.
Actually, you are pretty convinced that if you get verified, it's like instant millions.
That blue check, you have no idea what that blue check does for you.
It does a lot for you. It does a lot. Well, I kind of blew my chance of getting that blue check because I changed it from Movie Examiner to I Am Chris Crespo. But I had to change it, though.
Chris Crespo?
I'm not doing the Examiner thing really anymore. I'm only publishing like once a month on Examiner just to make sure I get those residuals. For all my old articles that still get hits, you know, they make money off that, but I have to publish, you know, at a certain interval or else they'll stop giving me money. Then they just pocket everything.
Hey, you don't have to tell me about residuals.
Hey, you know what's up. Yeah. You know the score. So that's on Twitter. Facebook, the show, facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Do you have anything else you want to plug Facebook-wise or any other Instagram you want people to follow you at?
Yeah. Nah.
All right. No. Okay.
You find me on Twitter, we'll go from there.
All right. I like it. And if you're not on Twitter, screw you, because Twitter is awesome. Actually, I am a really big fan of Twitter. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot better than... I hate Facebook. Barely use it. Much more a fan of Twitter. Tumblr, not really into it.
The babes are on Instagram. That's where you get
the babes are. I love... Yes, the babes of Instagram, and they know who they are. And yes, we all follow you. Hey, this is the last week for I'm doing a fantasy baseball league, Matt.
Is that your team on the wall?
That's one of my fantasy teams. That's the one league I'm in that costs money.
Uh-huh.
And we did a pre-draft. Like, we pre-drafted the first like 17 rounds before the actual draft.
Good Lord.
I know, it got ridiculous, dude. And then it kind of stunk. What happened was I made some great picks. And then within 2 days of making my great picks, they got injured in spring training, out 4 to 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
So I kind of got screwed over because of this pre-drafting thing, which sucks. But enough. People don't care about details of fantasy sports. However, no, I am doing a fantasy baseball league, the Crespo Diso first ever fantasy baseball league. Got a couple of spots left. So if you're interested, tweet us, Facebook, email cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Let us know. The draft is next weekend, so we like to fill up those spots before then. And I think that's everything for now. So we're going to get into the Crespo Dome.
Oh, man. Interesting.
Where anything can happen. Yeah.
Things get crazy here.
I don't know what to expect in the Crespo Dome.
Ah, that is the point, my friend.
Just make sure you choose your weapon wisely.
Choose your weapon wisely. That is the point. Well, first thing in the Crespo Dome, I would like to talk about a movie that we saw on DVD this week, Drew. And I understand you saw this as well, Matt. Seven Psychopaths.
Yeah, I watched that.
It's a good movie, right?
I actually thought it was pretty interesting. Like, I enjoyed that movie.
It's weird, though.
It's a little weird, but it's... Like, it's good.
Drew was like, went about 20 minutes in when he realized we were watching a movie about a guy writing the movie that we're watching.
It took me a while to figure out what was going on.
It kind of made me angry. It was a little bit of a cop out. I mean, it's wasted screen time.
It's a little meta, a little too meta.
It's not. See, I didn't think it was too meta. I understood that it was meta. Yeah. I just thought it was stupid.
Well, the first time I saw the movie in theaters, that aspect of the movie irritated me. Like halfway through, they're like, oh. like the main characters should just like drive out into the desert, just talk for the rest of the movie, and that's what they do. And then Sam Rockwell is like, this movie's gonna end my way, and then it does. It's like, yeah, that's a little ridiculous. But the second time around watching the movie, when I watched it on DVD, I actually liked all that stuff a little bit more, or maybe I should say I hated it less. and I did like the movie more the second time around. Like the first time I was disappointed. The second time I thought I was all right. Christopher Walken,
amazing.
Yeah, he was great.
More Christopher Walken, the better, you know. But it's definitely like a DVD type movie. You know, have you ever seen In Bruges?
No.
With Colin Farrell,
I've heard of Ray Fiennes. I'm not a big Colin Farrell guy, to be honest.
Neither am I. He's really good in Bruges.
It's the same writer director. This Martin McDonagh guy who did Seven Psychopaths. He's also a playwright. That's how he started. So all of his movies are very much about the dialogue. Like my favorite scene in Seven Psychopaths are those two hitmen on the bridge in the beginning of the movie, having that whole conversation about like
killing people through the eyes
and Dillinger getting shot. Mm-hmm. And those were my favorite characters. That was my favorite scene. And then they get killed within 2 minutes of the movie.
Yep. Yeah.
Spoiler. Not really a spoiler. But hey, you know, I thought it was an okay movie. I thought it was all right.
It was fun.
You liked it.
Yeah, it was worth
watching. So all three of us agree that it's not bad. We all enjoyed it.
I think it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah.
It's out there. It's one, like, if you like those quirky kind of like culty movies, you'll definitely like it.
It definitely feels like it's a little, almost like a little overly quirky on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're making a quirky movie. Yeah, I like that word. That's a good word to describe it. All right, well, we're all in kind of agreement there on Seven Psychopaths. As this is the Crespo Dome, I usually get a few questions.
Sure.
All right. So I'm going to start with every week, so far every week, this is episode 11, 11 weeks in a row, we get a question from Billy D, friend of the show. He asked this week, let's see, watched Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning, loved it. And to be fair, I love this movie too, man.
Was this the new one?
This is the one that we watched that you didn't like, enjoying the hater hated.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we start calling Scott Adkins Brit Affleck? High kicks all around, Billy D. Scott Adkins. I don't even think you know who Scott Adkins is, do you? He was the lead character. He's the main guy. He's just a generic white dude, but he's like really ripped and he knows martial arts. He was actually in. Did you see Expendables 2?
I haven't yet. I've been meaning to, actually.
I'm pretty sure he's in that one where he gets in a fight with someone. I can't. Jason Statham. He gets in a fight with Jason Statham, like a white guy doing martial arts fight. That's actually pretty good. And it's like right next to a plane, Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark style. There's a propeller going, and like who's going to fall into a propeller? Obviously, it's not Jason Statham.
Obviously.
Can we call Scott Adkins Brit Affleck?
He kind of looks like him.
He is a British guy who does a mean English accent, American accent.
Yeah, he does.
It kind of looks like Ben Affleck. Yeah, sure. Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning is a weird, weird movie, Matt.
Yeah, it is. It's really strange.
Is
it on Netflix?
Yes. Yes, it is, buddy.
Check it out.
All right. Heads up. It's very strange. It's kind of it's closer to a horror film than it is an action movie.
I like horror.
All right. Just like the atmosphere and the creepy style.
I don't know why I like bad movies, but I do, especially in the horror genre. Like, I don't care if the act. Like, okay, just watched Hostel the other day.
Okay.
That movie was. It's a lot to take in.
It's actually. I think it's well made. The subject matter aside, the story, blah blah blah. It's technically well made.
But I like the cheesy acting, dialogue,
over the top, bad characterization,
way too boobs for no reason.
Right,
of course.
I like that kind of movie.
Sure.
So if this is anything like that,
it does have aspects, because it's such a low budget film. It has aspects where it's like that. I know what they're going for. They want this to be cool, but it just looks cheesy and it makes me laugh. But then it does have really good action scenes, really good fighting, one really good car chase scene that's funny in that it's a van and a pickup truck. And it's like, it's not like a Michael Bay car chase scene where it's like a ton of cars and things are going crazy. It's just, it's almost like a real life car chase of two cars banging into each other. And because it's so low budget, there's no CGI, you know. So if they wanted to flip a van three times in the movie, so the only way they could achieve that effect was by flipping the van three times for real. And it has cool stuff like that. Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren are both in it.
Oh yeah, they are.
They should have opened with that.
Oh yeah. I probably should have led with that.
they're both really old.
They're both in it. They're both old, and they both have small roles, but they both get really good fight scenes. Lundgren actually gets two fight scenes, and Van Damme gets a pretty cool one where half his face is painted white, like the top half of his face is painted white, and the bottom half. Half his is painted black and he's talking all this crazy stuff.
I will watch it.
All Apocalypse Now style.
It's weird. So yeah, yeah, Billy, we'll start calling Scott Adkins Britt Affleck. Let's see. I got another question here on the Gmail. Wrote this one down. Ricky from Atlanta, checking in from Atlanta.
Ooh, from ATL.
From the ATL, from Hotlanta. He wants to pose a Crespo Dome battle between Brad Pitt and George Clooney. I'm not sure what he means by that, though. I guess we're comparing it to who will come out on top in the Crespo Tomb. Pitt versus Clooney in the Crespo Dome. Maybe this will be a new bit. People can suggest people.
Like, who's a better actor or who would win in a fight?
Let's take both.
Ooh.
Let's go both.
Go both.
Let's start with better actor. I'm going to go better actor. I'm going to say Clooney, but not by that much. I think Brad Pitt's a little underrated.
That's what I was going to say. Brad Pitt, but not by that much, because everybody thinks he's, you know, pretty boy Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Girls love him and everything, but I've always thought that he's a better actor than he gets credit for.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
100%.
He's done some great, great movies. He picks great movies, too. You know, Fight Club. What was the one where he was a crazy person?
12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys.
That's one where he, like, great spent movie. A month in a mental institution, like, talking to people and talking to doctors and doing a lot of research to try to get all those mannerisms down. I just rewatched Seven
the other week.
He was great in Seven.
He was great.
I mean, Clooney's good, too. You can't say,
you can't say he's not.
Yeah, I mean, Clooney, though, he's done some stuff that's, like, kind of, I don't know. It feels like he gets more emotional with his stuff. Like, in Solaris, there's a movie all about, like, lost love and regret, and he has to play all that on his face. There's no action for him in that.
Yeah, but you see,
stuff like Good Night and Good Luck. Well, actually, he's not even, he just directed that.
He's also done stuff like Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Clooney's one of the worst Batman ever.
He is the worst Batman ever. Clooney is the worst Batman ever.
Yeah.
Whereas Brad Pitt, he's done. What? Troy? He's so good in that, though.
Yeah, but the movie, wasn't that great.
I'm trying to think of his Batman. What's Brad Pitt's Batman? I don't think he has done
superhero.
But yeah, but what?
Especially not campy superhero.
A really bad role for him. I guess it's never happened. There's someone out there that's screaming. The Mexican, he's just playing Brad Pitt. Meet Joe Black. That one.
I never saw it.
That one gets a bad rep.
I didn't like Meet Joe Black the first time I saw it. Since I've gotten older and have rewatched it a couple times,
and he realized,
I really like the movie.
And you realize he's a character playing
death.
Yeah.
Oh, and he did Inglorious Bastards. He was great in that.
I loved him in that movie.
I was talking to somebody about Tarantino the other day. I know this is not a popular opinion, and people beat me up about this, but Inglourious Basterds and Django, I think, are his two best movies.
Oh, I agree.
Everybody thinks Pulp Fiction's the great, and of course, Pulp Fiction's a great movie. But
I love Pulp Fiction. I agree with you. I think Inglourious Basterds specifically is his best film. That I've always thought that since I first saw it, because it's his first movie where I felt like he's actually saying something. Because in that movie, it was all about the power of cinema and what he can do with movies. You know, that's why the movie ends in a theater and there's like people watching murders on screen and then they get murdered and there's the revenge of the giant face and they're literally killed by exploding film. You know, the pile of film in the background. It's very much about a very specific thing. Whereas all his other movies are like, oh, look how cool this is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, revenge is cool. Oh, heists are cool, you know. And then Django, too, felt like, oh, he has a little more on his mind. The movie has a little more purpose. I definitely agree with you in that he has just gotten better as he's aged. And Django and Inglourious Basterds, I would put up as, like, those are my two favorite Tarantino movies right now. Yeah, definitely agree with that.
For Me, True Romance is number one.
Oh, yeah. Well, he wrote that one. That's a Tony Scott film.
Still.
Yeah, that's also True Romance is incredible.
I still consider it in the Tarantino canon.
Okay, yeah, no, fair enough. Brad Pitt was in that.
Yes, he was. He
fantastic
role. Stoner on the couch.
As a stoner on the
bear
couch. Two scenes.
Yep.
All his dialogue was like, huh? What? Most of his dialogue.
He went over there.
I think I started with Clooney, but I'm going to change. I'm going to say Pitt. Doesn't have a Batman.
I was going to agree with Cabin. Yeah. I was going to say Pitt, but not by much.
You guys swayed me. I'm going to flip it. Pitt, but not by much. Extremely underrated, though. People should like Pitt way more than they do.
Okay, so how about in a real fight?
Oh, yes, real fight. In the Crespo Dome for real.
I'm going Brad Pitt circa Fight Club, and I'm going to say Brad Pitt.
I would say, If they got into the Crespo Dome, still Brad Pitt. He's younger, and he's on that HGH. He is. That's a fact. Clooney, He's grown a beard lately.
I think he has. He's got a weird mustache.
He's put on a little bit of weight, so that's
Ben Affleck
grew
himself a Clooney beard.
Well, yeah, beards are in because beards are cool. I think I know a thing or two about beards. All right, wait. That's a Crespo Dome. Pitt versus Clooney. Pitt, better actor. Pitt's going to win in a fight. Well, that's a 2-0 Pitt. All right. I'm a George Clooney fan, too, but I'm going to have to go with that.
I'm a big George Clooney fan, yeah.
Hey, all right, so hey, that's a good question, Ricky. If anyone else has a Crespo Dome scenario like that, hit us up, and we can do those every week. That's pretty cool. And I got one more question here. I got to pull it up on the old Book of Faces, where we are, Book of Faces. FB.com/CinemaCrespodista. Did you know you can do that, Matt?
FB.com?
FB.com.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, you can be FB.com, whatever your thing is.
How about that?
It's save time. Can't spend time typing in the A and the C. Oh, my God. See, already I wasted so much time.
Two more O's and a K. I know.
Just thinking about it. All right, here we go. And the question, where's the question? It's from a week ago, so. Do you remember the question? You know what it is, Drew.
I do, but I don't know the exact wording of the question.
Yeah, that's why I want to get the wording. It was basically, the question was from noted novelist Matthew Miliano, friend of the show.
Whose new book, Organized Chaos.
New book, Organized Chaos,
just
available now.
Just hit shelves. Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
nice.
You name it.
So we highly recommend you check out Organized Chaos by Matthew Miliano, friend of the show. He wanted to know, he said, Drew, I'm still trying to look it up.
Come on, Chris.
That's the thing. I got one device here. That's why I try to get everyone to send the questions to the email, but people insist on, I want to do it on Facebook, Twitter. I want to send you questions in so many different ways. And it's like, oh, you guys are killing me. All right, here we go. I got it. Why does Drew, this is again, noted novelist.
And longtime friend of me.
Longtime friend of Drew, friend of the show, Matthew Miliano, Organized Chaos. Why does Drew insist on referring to Black Swan as the wrestler for girls? No question Aronofsky is brilliant, but I think the premise and content of the former is so much deeper and more profound. Thank you, Mr. Miliano, author of Organized Chaos. Drew, so you think, is that true?
Yeah.
Defend yourself.
Explain
yourself, sir.
Black Swan is a wrestler for girls.
You've seen both these films, right?
Yes, I have. Black Swan is one of my favorite movies.
It's a fantastic film, right?
I thought it was great.
And what do you think about the wrestler?
What do you think of the wrestler?
I liked it.
That's the general consensus, and I've never understood that, because right after I saw Black Swan, I was like...
This is the wrestler for girls?
I just saw the wrestler for girls.
Well, explain. Go ahead.
Okay. One of them has to do with ballet and the high culture of that, and you know,
ballet.
obviously the film, you know, reflects that. You know, it's very clean, it's very cut, it's very precise, it's very pristine.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Whereas the wrestler, you know, obviously dealing with the very low culture of professional wrestling.
The opposite.
Some people would not even consider wrestling even an art form per se.
Right.
But that movie was it was very rough, it was very rugged, it was very dirty.
And they're both about characters who give their whole lives and their bodies to their profession.
Both mine and they're both quite neurotic about it as well.
They are both. They take their desires to the extreme. One wants to be a professional wrestler so bad he ends up being homeless to do it. Mm-hmm. One wants to be a ballerina so bad she's like destroying her feet and she has no friends and it's at great personal expense.
Yeah, I mean, both movies.
Actually, neither of them have any friends.
There's not necessarily an antagonist in the movie. The antagonist is kind of the protagonist. They are their own worst enemies.
That is an Aronofsky, Darren Aronofsky staple, though. In Requiem for a Dream, we've all seen Requiem for a Dream.
Course.
Who's the antagonist in Requiem for a Dream?
Themselves.
Their addiction to drugs is the bad guy. Even in The Fountain, the bad guy is death and their fear of death. It's not even, and, you know.
Yeah.
The main character being so consumed by trying to find a cure for death that he's not there for his wife when she eventually dies. Spoiler. I didn't see that movie from 7 years ago.
And now I never will.
It's a romantic comedy without the comedy. I think you would not like it. I can see how. There's definitely a thematic crossover, but it's from the same artist and it's the same director, so he's going to be hitting the same themes.
But I mean, they're both. They're both character pieces.
Mickey Rourke never goes crazy the way Natalie Portman goes crazy. He still
goes crazy.
I'm pretty sure Marissa Tomei played a real character in The Wrestler, as opposed to Mila Kunis, who played what I believe was a figment of Natalie Portman's imagination.
Yeah, well, we can't really tell.
You can't tell.
Well, I mean, the realities get blurred. I mean, in The Wrestler, his realities get blurred, you know? I mean, he wants to be a wrestler so bad.
Well, that's more self. Yeah, that's self-delusion, I guess, than Black Swan. We're just seeing a personification of the self-delusion. Yeah. Yeah, okay, I guess I would have to kind of agree with you that it is The Wrestler for girls. I'm not even sure, though, if Black Swan is really necessarily more profound or deeper.
Well, I think it's a little more meta.
A little artier.
Yeah, because you kind of get inside of her head. You see the hallucinations for yourself.
It's funny you say you really like Black Swan, but The Wrestler, you thought
I
it was okay.
I like The Wrestler, but I just wasn't.
I think because I grew up loving professional wrestling, mm-hmm. you know, in the 80s and 90s, I really, really love, mm-hmm. really love wrestling. I've fallen way out of it since then. I think for that reason, I really liked The Wrestler, because I've read about a lot of old professional wrestlers living that life. You know, they're big for a while, they're on top of the world, they spend all their money, because it's just like many professional athletes or professional people who make a lot of money, they just spend it. Then they can't make that money anymore, and now they're living poor lives, and they're, you know, remembering mm-hmm. the foregone days of yore, the Halcyon days. So I guess maybe I just identify with that more because of my love of the fake sport that is professional wrestling, as opposed to my non-love of ballet. The only thing I know about ballet is Swan Lake, which is then the ballet that they did in the movie.
Yeah, it's the only ballet ever.
So that movie did exactly.
Nutcracker Sweet. Yeah.
The Nutcracker is quite sweet. Yes, the sweetest of sweets. So two ballets. Wow. Not really a ballet guy.
Nope.
I guess I'm gonna have to agree with Drew on this one a little bit. Right. Although noted novelist Matthew Miliano does have something of a point there about the profundity of Black Swan. Go out and get organized chaos and stuff. Matt.
Yeah.
You hail from a specific town in America, I believe. Right?
Pittsburgh, is that what you're
talking Pittsburgh, about? Pennsylvania. Yes, that is the one I'm talking about. Born and raised in Pittsburgh. Did you see Jack Reacher? You did, right?
I did, in Pittsburgh.
That's crazy.
Nice.
I went to Pittsburgh for Christmas, and my cousins and I, whenever we try and do a movie every year, whenever we all get together, and we went with Jack Reacher.
Cool. Going into it, did you know that it was shot in Pittsburgh and takes place in Pittsburgh?
No.
So did you see something that...
Yeah, right off the bat, I figured
really?
Out.
Oh,
yeah,
you realized it right away.
Yeah.
I always find that interesting in movies when they use a particular location and they make it almost like a character in a movie. Mm-hmm. Like in Spring Breakers,
St. Pete?
The movie takes place in St. Petersburg, and it's even shot in St. Petersburg, apparently, but they did nothing to make you to personify mm-hmm. St. Pete on screen. It could have been any random Gulf Coast
Beach
Florida town.
Yeah,
it really didn't matter.
Well, apparently, I saw an article that Pittsburgh is becoming a very, very popular destination to shoot movies.
It is.
Because the terrain, they have seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You have a big city, mm-hmm. but you also have like mountainous terrain very nearby.
Very close.
And they give directors huge tax breaks and production companies.
They've increased those tax breaks lately. So like in the last 5-10 years, production there has shot up.
A lot
up.
Of big movies. Batman, the third Batman, they just shot in Pittsburgh.
That's, nice. That actually brings me to what I want to do here real quick. I have a list of 10 movies shot in and around Pittsburgh, PA. Some of them take place in Pittsburgh. Some of them just use locale. And you got one of them. Dark Knight Rises is absolutely shot mainly in Pittsburgh. They shot a little bit in New York City, too, for the Wall Street stuff. But it's mostly in Pittsburgh. I found that interesting about the Batman movies. All three films for Gotham City, they filmed in different, completely different cities.
Interesting.
I forgot where they shot Batman Begins, and they might have, a lot of that was actually sound staging, and I think they might have shot some of it in New York.
Maybe backlots.
The second one, Dark Knight, shot in Chicago, mostly, and then the third one was shot mostly in Pittsburgh. So Gotham is a constantly evolving thing in those Batman movies, which is really cool. But yeah, you got one of them. I have 10 of them here, not including Jack Reacher. Dark Knight Rises. What else? What else can you think of?
Fish Called Wanda.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because I don't have, that's not my list. This is my top 10, but Fish Called Wanda. Wow, that's cool. What else do you know? I love this. Can you think of any, Drew? Have you ever noticed? You don't even know what Pittsburgh looks like.
I have no idea what Pittsburgh looks like.
You don't even know.
Oh, I just watched a movie the other day that was in Pittsburgh. Oh, man.
So did I,
wait,
too, actually.
I know, like, what the hell? Oh, it was The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yes, that is. That's not on my list because I didn't see it, but I noticed, yeah, that is absolutely shot in Pittsburgh. And that's actually, a lot of people really like that movie. And you watched it?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was actually way better than I thought it would be.
It was one of the big surprise movies of last year, apparently. Because it's just a coming-of-age type movie, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
High school kid or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was
actually worth watching.
Wow.
I thought it was going to be this stupid, chicky movie, and I was like not paying attention, but then
something
happened.
20
minutes in, it started to drag me in a little bit, and I was like, oh wow, this is actually pretty good.
Wow, you saw a sign of a good film. How did that come about again, that you ended up watching that against your wishes?
Yeah, it's a long story.
All right. Okay. How about, can you think of one from the early 90s with Anthony Hopkins?
Oh, wait. The Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs was shot in Pittsburgh.
And the Jean-Claude Van Damme hit Sudden Death was shot in Pittsburgh.
What?
Because my brother was an extra in that movie.
What?
Nice.
What's that story real quick? What's that one? Was it in at the hockey game?
Yeah, they shot at the Igloo, the old Penguins Arena.
Yeah.
And they needed people to fill the stands, and they gave everybody free lunch.
Ah,
and my brother
worked for free lunch.
Cool. And he's one of the, and they only actually filled like one section of the hockey rink, and they just kept
and then they
do, filming it.
Did they move them around the place to get different angles, or they just filmed it?
You can't remember,
man.
And they had a couple cardboard cutouts mixed in with
Yeah. Oh,
so you can see him.
Movie magic.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That is awesome. But that one was not on my list. I didn't even know.
Chris.
What a classic. How about a movie from 1968? We wouldn't have The Walking Dead without this movie.
Was it the Dawn of the Dead?
The one before that, Night of the Living Dead. Dawn of the Dead, I believe, was shot in... Actually, all of them except for Day of the Dead are shot in the Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh area, because George Romero, guy who pretty much invented zombies as we know it, he's from Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, how about that? Son of the Berg.
So Night of the Living Dead, Day of the Dead, and recently Land of the Dead from 05 were all shot in the Pittsburgh area. Day of the Dead shot over here in Sarasota.
I was about to say my hometown, Sarasota, Florida.
Drewster Cogburn's hometown of Sarasota. Movie from 78. Robert De Niro, Christopher Walken, starts with a wedding, ends with Russian roulette.
Deer Hunter.
Deer Hunter.
Oh, I've never seen Deer Hunter.
Oh, it's a good one.
That's one of them classic 70s, like anti-hero. There's nothing.
Just never got around to
this
it,
movie,
no reason.
This
just,
movie is not going to make you feel good.
Yep.
It's epic, and you're going to remember it.
Yep.
John Voight's in it. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Classic film. I just rewatched this movie the other day because I'm working on an article, book to film adaptation type thing, because it's based on a book. Wonder Boys, have you ever seen that with Michael Douglas, Tobey Maguire?
It was good.
It's a good movie. He plays a writer who has writer's block, and it's Word Fest, like this big writing convention. Tobey Maguire, this is pre-Spider-Man, he plays like a writing student who's socially awkward, and they become friends. It's actually really, really, Robert Downey Jr. is in it, like pre-redemption Robert Downey Jr.
I really like Robert Downey Jr.
He's great.
I think he is.
I don't know if he's necessarily underrated, though, because he's highly regarded.
People love him now.
I've always thought he was like a great actor that didn't get him like credit as some of the other guys.
Yeah, for a while, but well, because he had his problems.
He had
his Lindsay Lohan phase.
Iron Man sort of reinvented him a little bit.
It did. It made people be like, all right, I can like this guy again. He's great in Wonder Boys, and that one is shot and takes place in Pittsburgh. Like they make sure to make you know that this is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I actually think Iron Man. I don't think they would have even made sequels. I don't think that movie would have done anything if it wasn't
without
Robert Downey Jr.
He's the perfect Tony Stark.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yep. No one else could have pulled it off. And then they're going to be screwed because he's getting up there in age. Iron Man 3, he's not going to do an Iron Man 4.
Right.
He'll come back as Iron Man in Avengers 2 and probably Avengers 3. But then after that, well, I mean, they're going to have to find a new Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be tough. Those are some big shoes to fill. What else do I got on this list here? You would never get this one, but I found this funny. Angels in the Outfield from 1951.
Wow,
the original Angels in the Outfield. They did remake this movie in the 90s with Christopher Lloyd, and that was with the Los Angeles Angels. They were the team, the Angels in the Outfield. And the original one in 51, it was the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. So Angels in the Outfield for Pirates. Dogma. Kevin Smith's Dogma.
That was
done in Pittsburgh in the late 90s. And then I got three really recent movies. One of them about MMA. Did you see that one? Tom Hardy?
The Fighter.
Warrior.
Or the Warrior.
Warrior. That one takes place in Pittsburgh. Although at the end, I think it takes place in Atlantic City, the actual fighting itself. Super 8?
Yeah. Oh, really?
I didn't know that was Pittsburgh.
That was shot in Pittsburgh. Awesome. I don't think it takes place in Pittsburgh, though.
I like that movie a lot.
It's pretty good. I like all the stuff with the kids. That stuff with the alien, I don't know about that. And finally, Unstoppable. A part of that was shot in Pittsburgh because a lot of it takes place in Pennsylvania in general.
Yeah,
a lot of good stuff. Look at it. It's coming down outside, man.
I was about to say.
Goodness gracious. Raining. All right, how are we doing on time? We're doing pretty good here.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's get into the last. We're going to get into the last segment of the Crespo Dome. We started doing this recently with guests.
Okay.
You are our guest this week, so you're going through the lightning round.
Oh.
Speaking of all the rain outside, hopefully there won't be any lightning.
And there we go.
Did you hear that?
Yep.
Did you hear that? All right. The lightning round for Matt. I'm going to spit out 10 questions here.
Okay.
We're going to try to do them pretty quickly.
Okay.
And just, first thing that comes to mind. Don't got to think too hard, all right? So here we go. Lightning round. Number one, what is your favorite cereal?
Man, I'm already thinking.
Favorite cereal?
Cookie Crisp.
Number two, Atari or Nintendo?
Oh, Nintendo.
Number three, what are your three favorite bars in town?
Oh, three favorite. Oh, man, I don't know if I could pick three.
Three of your favorite bars. Give me a little out there.
Finn Henry's, Casey's on Central, and... God, how about we throw the Lodge in there?
All right, three downtown bars. Describe Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 10 words or less.
The backbone of America.
Ooh, nice.
Nice.
Number five, who framed Roger Rabbit?
The guy that's face melted.
All right, number six, what is your least favorite animal?
I've never thought about that until right now.
Oh, yeah. Is that your answer?
Yeah.
All right, number seven. We're going to play Kiss, Marry, Kill. You know, you're familiar with Kiss, Marry, Kill?
I know it is.
As a different term, yes, different, yes. Okay. So we're going to call it Kiss, Marry, Kill. Please play Kiss, Marry, Kill with Mo, Larry, and Curly.
you got to marry Curly.
All right.
He's the comedic. I mean, he'd keep you laughing the whole time. I guess I'd kiss Mo and kill Larry.
All right. Okay. Number eight, Deep Impact or Armageddon?
Oh, Armageddon was way better.
All right. Number nine, do you want to run away and join the circus?
Yeah, sure. I would.
All right. Next train out of here, you and me. And number 10, football or beer, you can only have one.
You can't have one without the other.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Good answer. Good job, dude. That's a lightning round. I think we learned a lot about you there, buddy.
Always do.
I do say I think you got Kiss, Marry, Kill wrong, though. It's obvious you have to marry Larry. That's pretty obvious.
Is it?
You marry Larry. You kiss Curly because he's cute. You marry Larry because it rhymes.
And you kill Mo.
And you kill Mo because he's an abusive jerk. Yes, yep. Yeah, that's the correct answer there. So that's the lightning round. Thank you, Matt, for participating. We do that every week.
Anytime.
Did that with Kevin and Ed last week. That was fun. We did it with Drew the week before. That was a test. So that brings us to the end of the show. To end it here, we're starting also a new thing that I'm starting with guests. You know the concept of the swag bag?
Yeah.
You go to an award show or something, and the guests, they go up to a hotel suite, and they get, you know, they got a bag with an iPod in it, and $10,000 worth of cologne, and, you know, a bunch of free stuff.
Yeah.
We're giving out swag bags to our guests, buddy. So we got four bags over there. Go ahead.
Oh, man.
Go ahead and choose a bag and pass it over to me.
The green one looks too obvious because the rest of them are purple. That's obvious.
I guarantee you there's no rhyme or reason to the coloring of the bags. Okay.
Go with that one.
I'm going to go ahead and break this out just to describe people what we're giving you here in the swag bag. Let's see. First off, we're getting... Oh, Matt, you get a copy of... Epic movie, the parody about epic movies. Looks like on this one they parody Superman Returns.
I don't know if I can watch
Paris Hilton, Borat. I see fake Jack Sparrow. That looks like fun. That'll be good times. We got you. That's gross stretchy mice.
Oh, that's something I could use.
Yeah, you can mess around with people with mice there. We got a bottle of soap.
Okay,
you can blow bubbles, right? Blowing bubbles. Got you a bar of soap. Big olive oil bath bar.
Oh,
this is good stuff.
Can't have too much soap.
And Got you a sticker. Nice. So across with me, so sticker. So there you go, sir. This is your swag bag.
Thanks, buddy.
Hope you enjoy.
So ridiculous.
Oh no, this is the best stuff, man. There you go, cash value.
Only the finest.
Cash value of about $6 right there.
All right.
So, thanks a lot for coming out, man. I really appreciate
it. Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Looks
fun.
Looks like we're leaving in a pretty nasty time weather wise.
Yeah,
but
fun ride home.
Fun ride to work.
Fun time for me sitting here editing. Hey, actually, that's not too bad for me. So thanks a lot for listening to episode 11. Drew, sir, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Matt, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Go ahead and get us at Twitter, Facebook, email. You know, so many ways of contacting us. And we'll see you next week for episode 12. Wild, wild stuff.
It'll be Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday. We'll be back for the Easter edition of Cinema Crespo Diso. Can't wait. We're going to go hunt for some eggs and eat some rabbit stew, right?
Chocolate.
Chocolate rabbit stew?
Sure.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you next week.